This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It is Europa Vision time. Helping me, David Michael, to catch up on what has happened now the group stages have finished. Armin Mazoyan, welcome back.
Hello, greetings from Neon. How are you?
How did you get to Neon? Why are you in Neon?
You should check the mom's bank balance. You paid for it. I'm here with Monchi today. He's unfortunately flown back to Birmingham, but I'm here for the draw that took place.
But it's irrelevant to Villa, so what are you trying to...
It's important. Write? It's PR. I wore my mum's cap, my mum's T-shirt, promoting.
What are you trying to write that one off on expenses for?
Trying to get an interview with Monchi, but he's known to be... difficult man to reach.
Well, we'll get on to the draw in a second. First of all, supporting the My Old Man Said podcast throughout the festive period is NordVPN, and they are offering listeners an extra 4 months free on top of cracking savings on their VPN package, which can potentially help with that festive viewing, especially if you're away from home this Christmas, as a VPN enables you to watch sporting events and TV shows by switching your virtual online location from a physical location that might not allow you to watch certain matches at certain hours. While at the same time, it also protects your online privacy on up to 6 devices. To get the exclusive package and also a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee, go to nordvpn.com/moms or check out this show's program notes as well. Thank you very much. Let's just wrap off that Zrinjski game. Not exactly the most exciting game, but ultimately, you still had unfinished business after we didn't quite wrap this up with a game to go. So we needed a point. Went out fairly strong with the Konsa-Torres scenario. Also starting Moreno and Ramsey with an eye to the Brentford game, just to get them up to speed. I thought Moreno mixed fortunes in the Brentford game, but he's getting there, isn't he, in terms of fitness, and it's good to see.
Well, he's certainly doing what he did last season, which is influencing on both ends the other day, but in general, he's not held back, has he? He's gone straight the way he played last season.
Which... bombing on the overlap, which was good to see. But the main thing about this Zrinjski game was just in the background was the other game, which was playing out, Warsaw versus Alkmaar. Alkmaar actually had a lifeline to qualify if they beat Warsaw, but easier said than done, because having been to Legia Warsaw's ground for Villa's trip there in the group opener, it's a bit of a formidable atmosphere. And the Villa game was a bit cagey Villa over the whole game had 76%, but Zrinjski did exactly what they did at Villa Park, and very effective with it. You know, two banks of four, low block, and yet still offered something on the break to be a life threat throughout the game. But once Legia Warsaw went 1-0 up just after the half hour mark, then it kind of added a little bit of urgency to the game, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. When we go over the game in Poland, we'll see that really it wasn't much of a contest for too long.
So in the first half, Zrinjski, how's it playing out?
Like you said, it was a lot like the first tie. Villa had a lot of the ball, struggled to really carve them open too much. But I felt like they were very happy for us to kind of pass the ball around. You know, as we've said before, they're very organised.
I mean, the main chances we have was probably Zaniola, wasn't it, initially? Obviously no John McGinn when we started. So you're looking at Luiz playing deep sitter and then a three of Diaby, Zaniola, Dendonka. I mean, Dendonka was also dropping off, but then, you know, Duran and Ramsey up front. But you thought on paper you had enough, but Legia Warsaw 1-0 up, and Zrinski were actually offering enough to suggest that this could go horribly wrong.
I think it's like all the games we've had, really, that apart from the AZ ones, or maybe at Villa Park, but it's more the counter, isn't it? All these teams have set up quite well to counter us, and I think we're actually quite weak at times on the counter. So that's where the risk was. And yeah, Zaniolo had a few shots and kind of skyward ones, as we've seen many times before. So one of the things we talked about last week, wasn't it, that he could really just do with getting a goal. So that's something that's probably, I would say, the only positive to take away from the game was that, because we just looked like we were playing it almost like a kind of exercise, possession exercise, just trying to keep the ball, trying to control the game, as Emery always says.
I think there was probably frustration on Emery's part that the team that he did put out didn't really have, they didn't show much of a spark, really, to do anything different to break the trend of what was actually happening in the game. And the double substitution of Luca Dean coming on, McGinn coming on, perhaps those two players might not have featured, although I always thought that Ramsey Moreno would be like a 60, 70 minute baptism. I mean, Ramsey did play the full 90 minutes, but McGinn came on and made an instant impact, didn't he?
Yeah, and that's been the story of the tournament, hasn't it? Where when we need that little bit of quality, we'll bring on a Luiz who, as he did, pop up with an assist in another game. And it's just been, I think we talked about it last week, we just want to see more. And I think manager wants to see a little bit more from the players who are fighting.
You want them to carry the can a bit more, don't you?
Yeah, and I think you mentioned last week, we spoke about the difference between Watkins and Duran. And I think you see, because you rightly said he's not going to offer as much movement. Maybe he's more kind of plays in the box. But I just feel when he plays, and this is what I was getting at last week, I can't quite work out if it's because when he plays, he's also playing alongside, say, Zaniolo, who's also looking for his first goal and looking for, you know, a bit of form. And is that what's affecting Duran as a striker, or is it just the fact that he's not offering enough himself and he's not getting involved enough yet?
Well, I mean, with Duran, you know, you still got the headline is he's 20 years old.
Just turned 20, yeah.
Yeah, Zaniolo, probably we're not getting exactly what we expected from him, and he's almost like fighting for his, let's say, midterm future at Villa to stay relevant in this, because I think there is an appraisal once you get up to the end of the year and we'll find ourselves, let's face it, knee deep in the top four. And then you are looking at, can we win this thing? And that's what January is there to help. And whether Zaniola is going to be part of that in terms of being a front runner, or will he just be sitting on the bench and you're just going to hope for the odd moment from him? But anyway, when McGinn came on, did his thing, got it over, Zaniola broke his duck, and then, you know, I was just thinking, get McGinn off and let's see this one out. But then red card in Warsaw for Alkmaar, and that was pretty much Alkmaar done and dusted. I mean, it was a bit of a tackle like a Ben Mee one.
It was very similar in that, fortunately, the player's leg wasn't grounded, so it, you know, hurt him, but he kind of cracked on with it. But the tackle itself was very dangerous, and it was Martin Zindi, who you might remember played in at Stoke. He's the one I think you've mentioned before on the pod with Phil, that he's the one who's got all the famous memes of the eyes that he does, the funny looks that he gives. And so yeah, he was sent off. He was shocked at the fact that he was sent off, but it was a deserved red, I think.
Alkmaar, you know, they obviously needed to score two, being 1-0 down to 10 men. It's not looking good. And then we were in the situation where if we lost and Legia Warsaw scored two and we scored one, it's suddenly, you know, getting a bit more complicated. And of course, Legia Warsaw scored and we were hit by a sucker punch. Deflection, well, it was a bit of a deflected shot, but there had been some nervous moments before that. So this is the thing. It wasn't like a controlled, we're 1-0 up, let's just see this out, get back on the plane and come back. We did put ourselves under pressure a little bit too much. Callum Chambers probably not helping himself. He's the only one that has come out the group stages as this guy is squad filler.
If that, but I mean, in his defence, I think he had spells last year, he looked better. He just looks, he looks devoid of confidence and just not sharp by any means. You can tell he's barely featured, you know, for more than 6 months really now, since if you go back from May. So he just looks rusty. I don't quite know what his role is. I mean, you know, he's not the youngest anymore either. So he just looks off the pace completely.
Marshall, the Villa's goalkeeper, who had come in to make his debut, actually, there's a couple of moments here and there, but you know, later on we saw it out after the equaliser, and what was going on in Warsaw, and you know, once the whistle was blown, it wasn't like relief, was it? It wasn't like a drastic finish. You got a feeling that Zrinski actually were happy with the draw. I mean, they were not really playing for anything, but just pride, and you know, the fact that they could get a draw against a Premier League team that was you know, top four at that stage, you know, is a feather in their cap. So well done to them, and they've had a decent tournament and have proved a real hard nut to crack for Villa, and actually a decent exercise almost for the Premier League, for like when we play that bottom three. Burnley, Sheffield United, I think they might have a problem when it gets going into the new year. They might be cut adrift, and then when you go to play those teams, they're looking for respectability, and you know, they are defending a bit like Zrinski were doing, but we shall see. But I think it will stand us in good stead, those two games.
Over the six games, I don't feel like there was anyone better than them, really. I think Legia Warsaw they have more cutting edge, that they're a bit more likely to put the ball away. So I'd say them and Zrinski, I was probably more impressed with them than I was with Alkmaar, who were, you know, one of the five favourites at the beginning of the tournament.
Definitely came,
I feel like Alkmaar
short.
Just, I mean, really,
we
didn't,
I think
put
we're
on
not,
a good
show, we never
broke
out of third gear. I mean, in Alkmaar, we did turn on the burners just to get rid of them, but you know, we've definitely got plenty enough in the tank for the later rounds. Speaking of, they don't really concern us until February the 23rd, when we've got a bye into the last 16. The second place teams, including Legia Warsaw, face off against the third place teams in the Europa League. Now, this was a chance to sprinkle a little bit of big name stardust on the tournament. Teams that dropped down included Real Betis, Ajax, Ghent.
Actually, Royal Union Saint-Gilloise are actually top in the Belgium league, so they're an informed good side. They're considered a very decent team.
Olympiacos came down, but you know, they're fourth in their Greek league at the moment. So in terms of juice, you would probably say Ajax, big name, Real Betis, just because they are in the La Liga and also in the coefficient hunt to get those extra two Champions League places. Spain were let down by Osasuna getting knocked out in the playoffs of the Conference League, but now they've got a team back in, so they're not a dead dog.
Rangers were the one we discussed last week, and I believe at one point it looked like that they were going to be the team joining, but they...
Last minute winner.
Well, Betis were top of the group, so it was a real, real shock.
Well, Rangers scored in the last minute
in
a ding-dong battle.
3-2 cracker, wasn't it? And it looked unlikely that Betis would be the team to join us, but I don't think we even just really discussed them much last week, but they're the ones who aren't more unlikely, but they've dropped down.
In terms of going back to the coefficient hunt,
English
teams have actually dropped down to third. I mean, most football media were just kind of assuming that it would be Germany and England that would take those spots, because Germany were top in terms of the coefficient. But because Manchester United and Newcastle both got knocked out of the Champions League, but also knocked out of Europe altogether, so you get points obviously for Europa League, Europa Conference League, Champions League, and they were just knocked cold out rather than finishing third and staying in the Europa League as one of the drop downs. But you know, you're still picking up points for the coefficient, and allowed Italy to go above England. And I think the gap between English teams and Italy teams is bigger than from English teams to the Spanish teams behind them. So the fact that Real Betis has stayed in European competition is a big plus. Plus they have more contenders in the Champions League, as do the other team. It's the first time in 11 years that English teams have only had two representatives in the knockout rounds of the Champions League. So it's a bad time for them to only have two, because obviously there's an extra prize ahead. I mean, I'm hoping now that Villa do finish top four and either Newcastle and Manchester United finish fifth and miss out on the Champions League, because they went a big, big way to losing that fifth place if that's how it ends up. I mean, Villa would probably, if they win the Europa Conference League, Liverpool win the Europa League, and even, you know, if one of the English clubs wins the Champions League, then I think we've probably got the coefficient sorted out again.
It's one of those old Villa, new Villa mentalities. I think if you listen to Emery, McGinn and Louise, I think the last couple of weeks, whether it's just a tweet or an interview, they keep referring it to it as a top four. I don't think they're counting on finishing fifth. I think they're going for top four. And
oh, yeah, no, everybody's going for top four.
But I think
we're not going top four, we're going to go top five this season.
No, of course. But what I mean is, I think in their minds, that they weren't trying to scrape it.
If the fifth place is going to Champions League, you just increase the chances of Aston Villa being in the Champions League is the bottom line.
Of course, yeah, no, absolutely. But then, you know, when we started talking about the top five places, we weren't this strong and hadn't beaten Man City and Arsenal. And I think it's just not something to worry about now, because it could change, as you say, if the English teams do well, which they will, I'm sure, in the competition. So let's wait and see. But it you're right, people did take it for granted, but I think there's still a long way to go in this race, both for Villa and for the European teams in Europe.
It is an interesting subplot, though. It is an extra dimension to the season for all those competing in the Premier League with designs on, let's say, top 80.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
But looking at the draw, I think that's an interesting one. Royal Union against Eintracht Frankfurt. Top in the Belgium league against eight in the German league, although they did put Bayern Munich to the sword 5-1. But could get rid of Frankfurt in the next round.
I think that would be great, because I think if you can beat Bayern 5-1, even though it was a close game in terms of stats and chances, on their day, I guess they could turn us over if we don't turn up and they do.
Oh, yeah,
so you just want to get rid of them, don't you?
Meanwhile, Real Betis played Dynamo Zagreb, which is also a tough game, because Dynamo Zagreb are used to playing at European football every season, Champions League. So that one could be a potential 50-50 as well.
Yeah, Olympiakos, Ferencvaros, again, two really big clubs that have played at kind of all the European levels. You know, big followings, good sized stadiums. They're, you know, that there's quite a few of these teams now. They might not be from the considered top nations in football, but they're big clubs in their own right. So it's going to be an interesting one.
Well, the biggest one is probably Ajax. Yep. And even though this is not vintage Ajax, they are actually improving upon the team that's seen them dump out of the Europa League. They are, the fifth in the Dutch league at the moment. They play Bode Glimt, of who are top in Norway at the moment. So I think Ajax might need to show a bit more steel than what they have done to get through that one.
As we said along the way, when initially our kind of group opponents were top and second in their leagues respectively, looking at the teams left, you've mentioned a couple already, but like Bodo Glimt, Slovan Bratislava, Royal Union Saint-Gilloise, there's a lot of Bodo Glimt, there's a lot of teams that are top in their league. So Fenerbahce, yeah. Salonika, so that's PAOK, and Maccabi Tel Aviv as well. So they will be confident.
Well, you've got three at the top of the European leagues, respective European leagues. You've got three who are second as well in their current European League. So, again, as this tournament started off, when we actually got the draw, we were playing very much informed teams in our group. And, I mean, there's a long way to go till March, isn't there? So,
yeah.
But out of this potential smorgasbord, who would you like Villa to play in the last 16?
I think it's too early to go for an Ajax.
I want them in the final.
Okay, so Ajax in the final.
If they can get there.
I'm just looking.
Because then you've got a proper European final, and it will feel like an event. And if you win, then it feels like an accomplishment to win that final. And, it's a memorable one. I was there, against Villa versus Ajax. It rolls off the tongue nicely, and it's easier to pronounce than most of the teams in this tournament.
That would be good, wouldn't it? I would say a Sturm Graz or a Servette or a Ludogorets, the Bulgarian side. All quite nice places to go. Bulgaria would be certainly interesting. Just if you're, those ones are teams I think we can beat. So at the moment, I'm not looking at glamour. I don't want to beat a glamorous team just yet. I'll save them for the quarters, semis, and the final.
In the last 16, we are getting Legia Warsaw anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I they've been drawn of Molde, haven't they, of Norway, and who are again a team that's been in the Champions League. But I would fancy Legia Warsaw. I mean, they've beaten AZ. Quite comfortably. I think they can do it.
What, as in for the tournament?
No, just to beat Molde in the next round.
Or just to get through that game.
Yeah, I think they can do it because it's a horrible place to go. It seems like everyone's going to struggle going there. So they've got that kind of, it's like being a tennis player with a great serve. If you can win the ones on your serve, all you've got to do is do okay on the other person's serve. And it's the same with this.
Yeah, in terms of like next 16, wanting to get through, I'd probably go for Servette and Ludogorets in terms of the winner of that game. For sentimentality, Sturm Graz, if Slovan Bratislava win that, then it's a return playing them. We obviously played them 93-94 season in the UEFA Cup.
Maccabi Haifa there's going to be two Israeli teams in the competition. So, probably not the best place to go right now, but otherwise that would have been quite a good away trip.
Yeah, but the draw, these games take place in February. Mid-February-ish, don't they? And the draw's the 23rd of February. So that's when it's quite nice to have a little break, and then it's just going to be fever pitch from the 23rd of February once the draw is made. Hopefully we progress, but it's back to proper European nights, knockout nights.
Yeah, I've seen a few people mention as well, now Newcastle United have the advantage because they're out. But as again, we pointed out last week, there's no more games till March. So, I think by March it should be quite clear kind of if there's a bigger gap between teams or not. So
basically what you're saying, we just got to burn everybody off by March.
We will.
The way we're going, every game until March, I think you can just coast into the Champions League. The only decision is, do you want to win the league or not?
I want to walk away with the league. Five games to go.
That's from that point of view, in terms, everybody's saying Villa are shoo-in for this tournament, but you might get into a bit of, if we are going for the league, as it turns out that we are in the race, then priorities start to kick in, don't they?
Definitely. This show is about Europa vision, and it's very hard because the two do go hand in hand, because very much as we've said, very successfully pitched this competition against the Premier League and rested and played, not rested, but, rotated is the right word, and we've handled it well, and it's going to be harder, as you say, to do that as you get into the juicier ties. You're not going to play Chambers potentially against Ajax, are you? So then you're suddenly in a position where you might have Newcastle or Man City on the weekend, and you're playing a massive game in Europe, and it is going to get harder for us, definitely.
Because, every round that goes, if you keep getting through, the intensity in terms of the competition builds, so you need a stronger team out, and you're going to hope for a bit of luck in terms of the fixtures. I mean, it might be worth having a look at the draw, seeing how it pads out, and relating to see what fixtures we've got and whether we have got some tough double ups if, for example, we get to the quarters or semi-finals. Mm. But there's not that many games to go to actually win this damn thing. In your opinion, when people say, it distracts from the league, and is that a lot about the group stages? Because the group stages, we've ticked that box in terms of it hasn't affected our league position at all, because we are in a much better league position than we could have even probably imagined at the start of the season.
I think it's both, because I think at this time of season, it's like a war of attrition. You've got, as we've seen, it's like three games in a week, basically. And then you head into Christmas where it's the same, 3-day breaks, and it's just Premier League games. So I think from an injury point of view, that's where it's hard in the group stage, is just trying to start your season well, which we've done. We've done way, way better than anybody ever would have given us kind of a hope in hell to do. But as you've pointed out already, that's where it will get tricky in the second part of the season, because we've got to, if we've got something to fight for in the league, it's where you prioritise, it's where you kind of rotate your team. And you know, we've already discussed to death what Martin O'Neill did, and I don't see that happening this time round. I think he's a winner and he wants to win a trophy. So I think as we get to the quarters onwards, I think we'll treat it as seriously as the Premier League. And that's saying a lot given what's potentially going to be on offer for us in the Champions League. But a trophy for this club and for Unai Emery to win a European trophy at Villa, where we haven't won anything since 1996. And let's be honest, that was the League Cup. It was special back then, but it's still one of the, you know, lower graded trophies. So if we can win a European trophy, it means a lot to the manager and the players. So they'll take this, I think, just as seriously as the Champions League.
Yeah, I think the hardest round for Villa will probably be the last 16 in terms of being up for it, because in previous Villa history, we've got through, like, we've been in the first round or second round, we've ended up against like somebody like Inter Milan or a big glamour team. Then we got through that, and then we got knocked out by Rapid Vienna or somebody. If the intensity is not there and you're far away from the final prize, that's where you can take your eye off the ball. And especially if Villa are doing really well in the league, they might start looking down on this tournament. So that's why you kind of want an easier round 16. And then after that, it doesn't matter who comes, we'll take on all comers.
And it's the same even with the League Cup and the FA Cup. When you get into those into that quarter final, that's where you're like, hold on, we might as well take this seriously now.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's part of the course for any tournament outside of the league, I think. But anyway, in terms of the odds of this, let's wrap this off. Villa are 3-1 favourites. Of the new teams, Real Betis, it depends what bookies you kind of look at, but Real Betis are 12-1. And then after that is Ajax 12-1. But before them is still the first four has been the four, hasn't it, since the beginning, really? Villa, Fiorentina, Eintracht Frankfurt, Lille. Then you've got the new runners and riders, and then it's Fenerbahce, and then whatever after that. Can you see anybody outside those, let's say, top 6-7 winning this?
In reality, no. And there's a reason why the odds are where they are. I would say teams like Ferencvaros, Slovan Bratislava.
I think Club Brugge are dark horses.
Well, Victoria Pilsen have won 6 out of their 6. So it's hard because we don't watch these teams week in, week out. And there might just be a fantastic bunch of young players who, you know, will end up coming to Europe for big money next summer.
Like a legacy team, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's the one. So Victoria, I mean, we're playing 6-1-6. And, you know, Maccabi Tel Aviv, they've played 6-1-5. It's you know, you can't judge, but I think the quality will shine through, hence the odds. And in reality, no, I can't see, you know, both, say, Villa or even all of Villa, Fiorentina, Frankfurt, Lille going out to these teams. You know, all of them have to be knocked out. I don't see it happening, no.
Yeah. Right. We bid you a Merry Christmas as we take a bit of time off. We will be popping up in February for those knockout rounds to keep an eye on things. Who knows, we might do something in January just to see where all the domestic all the teams are in terms of the domestic situation, if there has been any trend busting performances by any certain teams that suddenly make them a big threat to Villa. But anyway, enjoy the holidays, enjoy your Christmas and New Year, and until next we meet, it's Merry Christmas from me and it's Merry Christmas from him.
Merry Christmas.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.